colored fish.
In the fridge and in the cupboards into a meal.
Are we live, Scott? All right, so we have... No, we're not live in the last meeting. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. It's approximately 3:05 on... I always forget what day it is. Today is June... Today is 26th, 27th? 20, June 27th. We're having a work session on case number WM13-66 Fairmont Minerals Variance Permit. Myself, Commissioners Kramer and Fedorchek, joined by Patrick Vaughn and Shelley from staff. And I don't have any opening comments, but I would certainly open up to my colleagues if you have anything, and then we'll turn it over to Pat or Shelley, whoever else wants to go first.
I drove by the facility there at Blaisdell a couple weeks ago and went in, and I called a phone number that I had, and it wasn't a person that was there. I believe the person was over at Stanley. But anyway, you know, you kind of come in, and there's an office there, and it gets very narrow between that office and the railroad. And so I felt like I was sort of violating someone's privacy a little bit by just rolling in. So I called that number and explained that I was with the Public Service Commission and that we have had concerns about their facility, and I just wanted to take a look at it. And he just said, go ahead, you know, help yourself. And it was very accommodating in that way. It was very wet, you know, as it has been all spring, but specifically that day, I think the night before, they had gotten, I guess, several inches of rain over by Berthold, so I assume it was probably the same over there. So the conditions weren't great around there, but you wouldn't expect them to be under. It's extreme weather conditions there, too. I drove around the back that they go in, and you drive past the facility and then turn and enter from kind of from the back where the high hill is that prevents them from making a long ramp. And I can see where that is an issue. But then as they get there, it's squishy, and I seen one truck coming out. I didn't see him going in, but apparently he had gotten in. And the ramps are, I sure wouldn't want to see them any steeper, but then it didn't jump out at me as being like alarmingly dangerous or anything either, to tell you the truth. As I looked at that, I thought, you know, if these conditions were a little drier, it didn't seem stunning. Mm-hmm. But I also think that if they were willing to commit some effort, they could dig some drainage there that would allow the water to flow and that would allow them then to extend those ramps a little further if they really wanted to. So I'm not an engineer. So it's hard for me to say, you know, any kind of an estimate of what that would cost. I think it could be done, maybe not to get it to the exact standards that we have in our rules, because they are probably right. They'd have to get into moving that hill, at which point, you know, it would become enormously expensive. But I think somewhere between the letter of our rules right down to the inch and what they have now, they maybe could do better. But like I say, I didn't see it as terribly dangerous either.
I guess I don't have any opening comments. Okay. If we're still just talking opening comments.
Very well. My question is, do you have a staff recommendation? What is our goal today? And I guess I was a little bit surprised that we needed a work session this quick because their variance has been approved for quite some time. I mean, there's not like this variance is expiring August 1st. So that's kind of what I didn't have it at first. I thought about it. But, okay, what do we want to accomplish here today? Do you have a staff recommendation of your approve
A, B, don't B, C, and then what is the time
frame? And then I would just turn it over to whichever one of you wants to start.
When the commission issued the variance, they The commission issued a private, provided until October 1st,
right.
I think it is. October 31st for them, for the variance. The variance would last until then. And they
having been someone who listened on the phone, it's harder to hear than you think. So if they are listening, we should all try to talk into the mics.
That's in the right spot there. So there were conditions on the variance. One of the conditions on the variance was that a plan of compliance be filed. And the plan of compliance said that no later than close of business on April 30th, Fairmont Minerals was to submit for commission approval a plan to bring the two truck scales into compliance with the North Dakota rules, specifically with respect to the approaches to the scales and clearance between the scale and the door sill.
So they filed their plan of compliance. They have been
waiting for a response from the commission, whether this plan is approved or not. And I guess the review of the plan of compliance is what's in order to determine what they're really proposing here. And to me, it seemed like they weren't quite proposing to do anything. They were setting out the costs, and they said, this is what it would cost us if we bring the scales into compliance, and what they would do if they had to do that.
Regrade the existing southeast
site embankment. Is that the hill?
Yes.
Yes.
Removing approximately 30 feet of a curved 20-foot high embankment, trimming the existing concrete approaches 12 feet from the inside edge, and disposing of the waste reinforced concrete material. And I'm not sure how much concrete is there in the approach.
It didn't look to me like a lot because it's a pretty short ramp, but it was so muddy, there might have been more than I'm thinking underneath the mud.
Okay. And then they would place compacted fill subgrade in the approach area and slope the grade at the 1/3 inch per foot. They would install a subgrade drainage system to drain areas between the approaches and pave the approaches and the area between and around the approaches. To allow for proper drainage, and then they came up with a total cost of $138,000.
Where are you looking, Patrick? Because
I'm looking on page 2 of their compliance plan.
April 17th.
Right in that area.
Okay, I'll find it.
See, I noticed in their application, if this is still correct.
Okay, here we go.
There's the area outside each approach is, let's see, looks like 10, scale out 10 feet, then slope down to 15.5-inch grade to over an additional 10 feet length. So
it's 20? 10-foot, relatively flat approach at the scale, and then another 10 feet beyond that. I can find it, too. It
says level from the outside edge of the scale out 10 feet,
right.
Then... No, 10 inches, 10 feet, then slope down the 15.5 inches to grade over an additional 10-foot length.
So the total concrete is 20 feet long?
Well, if they were making their ramps different, they wouldn't need to replace the 10 feet that are flat.
Right.
So it'd really be that 10-foot slope that you'd need to cut out and then make the slope longer.
But they talk about trimming the concrete approaches 12 feet from the inside edge and disposing of the waste reinforced concrete material.
Yeah.
That's their item number 2 in here.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about cutting off 8 feet, leaving 12 feet, and then building an approach with the corrected slope.
Pat, a thought for Julie and Randy, that I guess where I'm thinking right now is that I don't want to go through every item and look at their cost and make a determination for them. I was expecting them to come back and say, okay, we have done our work. We feel that we're going to spend this money and do this, but we want a permanent variance on this. So they'd come back to us the plan that said they're going to do these modifications, and in those other areas they're going to request permanent variances, or they're going to do all the modifications, or maybe they may come back and ask for our temporary variance to become permanent with no modifications. I thought...
kind of what they've done. They laid it all out, and then they say the costs associated with the work are prohibitive and the work causes other issues on the site. Please approve the design as it was constructed.
So you're saying that they... okay.
Their plan of compliance is to...
that's what they're
struck, leave everything as is.
So does that become the point of, I see where you're going now then. Do they have the documentation that shows their scale is staying in compliance for this? Where's that at?
We do have the testing reports, and we have a report. Did I write that down here? No.
Did you guys distribute those? I didn't get...
yes, we did.
Oh. This. Okay, thank you.
But back to your staff recommendation, I mean, I think that no matter what we come up with here, I think it'd be helpful for me anyway that you provide a recommendation, a written recommendation, that you've reviewed this report and you think this is what we should do. We do that in every other kind of case that's used your expertise, and that becomes a beginning point, unless Randy or Julie knows right away what they want to do, because I
don't have that in writing today, you know, to hand out, but I can prepare that.
You could verbalize it right now. What do you think? I mean, if you think approve it, that's pretty easy to verbalize. If you think don't, then what would your thoughts be, I guess?
Well, I guess the way this all started was, do we want to enforce our rules or not? And you know, because we have rules, staff kind of has to say, well, unless we get direction from the commission, right? We come to the commission to get direction. And so if you're saying that to give a staff recommendation, my recommendation is that we revise the rules. Now, a recommendation on this variance request. Based on Commissioner Crispin's visual there at the site, I would consider giving them a permanent variance.
Okay.
And if we change the rules, they would be in compliance on already on the approach, correct? Would that be in compliance if we changed? Because they set it towards the NIST Handbook 44, right? That's what they've constructed it to?
Yeah, they indicated that according to Handbook 44, they were in compliance with their approaches.
And then they'd still be probably out of... well, we'd have to talk about the other variances that they're... there's three of them, isn't there?
The only ones that we asked them to respond to were the approaches and the... where's that? And the scale, the distance between the non-existent door sill and the scale itself.
Can you explain their response to that, Pat? Because I read it a couple times, and I couldn't quite visualize what it was they were saying.
Okay, let's see if I have the right one here. Yep. What they're saying is that, my summary of what they're saying is that there's no door sill, and therefore our rule doesn't fit the situation, I guess.
So what does our rule require, just so I can get this visually?
It says that there should be a distance of 5 feet, a clearance of 5 feet between the door sill and the edge of the scale.
Okay. So where the door closes is typically a door sill. And they don't have one. So because they don't have a door sill, they're saying they don't. Even though there isn't 5 feet of clearance. So it's a technicality, really.
Yep. You know, the intent.
If there was no covering over it, they wouldn't need it. That's what's so weird. Because they didn't have any covering over the scale at all.
Right.
The door sill thing wouldn't apply.
Because the whole point of this is just so we can get our stuff inside the weight racks, correct? Isn't that why we want that clearance?
So that there's enough clearance to unload the weight carts and then do the testing with the doors closed.
Right.
And that which provides for a better testing.
Yeah.
Do you for Shelley and Pat, do you think that their testing has been an adequate period of time to say that these scales will stay in compliance even if these variances are in place? Or we should do a longer period of time?
Well, we can continue. The variance can continue until October 30th, and then we could, at that time, issue the permanent variance. And we could, the conditions of the variance, the testing conditions, could continue.
But what drove this to happen so quick now? I mean, they want us to make a decision, I guess, is the point. They don't want to wait till October and for us to say, do all this work.
No, it was our decision to ask them to provide a compliance plan so that if they had to do something during the construction season, it could get done before October 1st.
So it's you guys being aggressive, which is good.
No, it was the commission's. We had a work session on that, and the commission agreed that's how we should do that.
Right. I guess you're right. I didn't put two and two together, though. Getting this plan so quick meant making the decision right away. I thought I was thinking we'd get the plan. It doesn't matter. The point is it's in front of us now.
Yeah, if we said that they had to do some construction as a compliance action, they would want to do that during the construction season.
Sure.
Can one of you walk through the tests and explain what they are? I mean, yeah, scales and why is there so many copies of each one?
We have two scales.
Okay.
So we have a test report on each scale. The first page that I have is dated June 4th of 2013, and it is for the Cardinal scale, serial number, is that an E? E27512-0059. Is that the one you're looking at?
Yep.
Okay. The if you look over then at there's a column that's titled device/load position.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a test at each, since it's a six section scale. There's a test at each, as you go down at each of the corners.
Okay.
So there's 12 spots where they check the scale indication. And they used 10,000 pounds. That's the next column to the right. And then they show as found actual readings. And we believe that, well, you see mostly zeros there, but there are a couple spots where it looks like a 0 to minus 20.
Mm-hmm.
We think that's what that says, 0 to minus 20. It's not like 0, 1 to 20.
Okay.
I think it's 0 to minus 20.
Yep.
And that is the number of pounds deviation from 0. So if it was shy by 20 pounds in as found condition and also in the as left condition, and that is the tolerance amount that is acceptable. That is maintenance tolerance.
Okay.
Didn't bring my little cheat sheet.
So applying that to both of these, then on each page, they have been found within the maintenance level of compliance. There's been
On this page, yes, all of that, and then they do each of the sections going down the middle.
Mm.
And that's over farther to the right.
Yep.
You see those load positions? And they use 20,000 pounds for that test.
Okay.
Okay, so the next page that I have is the other scale.
Okay.
It is serial number E27512-13058, I think.
00.
Oh, 10058. Okay, 0059-0058. Using the same testing with 10,000 pounds and then section tests, load tests with 20,000 pounds. You can see the deviation there was 0 to minus 20, which is, again, maintenance tolerance, acceptable. The next sheet I have is the two tests. Then the next two sheets will be the two tests that were done in February. And you can see for the 0059 scale, some as found reading of plus 40, and then but they left it at 0 to minus 20. So that was it. They adjusted that. And then wherever you see a plus 40, you'll see an adjustment in the as left column. And then for the load testing, you'll see that there as founds and as lefts were, it looks like it was good. The next scale you'll see is 0058 on February 24th or 28th. What is that? Same date.
That one was 60, yeah.
It's hard to read. 28th. There's a 60, a minus 60 pounds. So they adjusted that. You'll see plus 80 to plus 100. That was adjusted to 0. The load testing looked okay. One of the things that you might notice on this page is that they were unable to see the variance permit that wasn't posted. It's supposed to be posted, and they couldn't see it. So we had a phone call about that to see if that was posted, and that was taken care of. If it wasn't already there, posted. And then the tests before that were really the install, the place in service tests or install tests. That was done in December of 2012.
Okay. Oops.
It seems to me we have probably three options. We can just approve this as is, and if we do, I think we're sending kind of a message that we're not going to enforce these rules. So then I think we should, you know, get busy and change our rules. We could send Pat or Shelley or both and Wayne up there and spend some time with them, maybe have an engineering company pay someone to go with that can, you know, give some ballpark estimates on how you would set something up so there would be drainage and yet get these ramps longer and flatter. And see if some negotiated solution could be reached. Because, frankly, I was a little disappointed in their response in April that, well, here's our recommended solution. You just give us a permanent variance and we won't do anything. And, you know, that maybe, you know, our team could go up there and negotiate something where we would give a permanent variance on some things, but they would do some things that were doable based on the geography of their facility. And I think our third option is, and I don't know if it's something that we have the authority or the desire to do, but we could give variances, and I think a variance has to be given, you know, always another year, like this time, by this time of year or earlier, for another full year in advance, because they can only do this work in the summer. And so if we're going to give them a variance through next winter, well, that does them no good. It would have to be through next summer again. But we could just continue to do annually or even semi-annually variances on this, but include, and I don't know the technical term, some type of a fee that is in addition to a normal scale license or whatever we call what they have, similar to what a truck driver would have if they buy an overload fee so they can haul more than what their truck's capacity normally is. And everybody knows they probably put a little more wear and tear on the highways, but they're paying more than their normal licensing and motor fuels fees kick into the repair fund. And so in this case, they would be paying a little more in, but we know that it doesn't meet our rules, and so we have to watch it a little more closely. And so then they could continue to decide on a year-by-year or semi-annual basis whether they want to pay extra each time they renew and get another and hope to get another variance, or whether they want to go ahead and make some changes that would cease to require the variances.
If we did the last option, we'd probably have to do the same thing for all the other variances. Look at them anyway, for all the other scales, because there we've got variances on a bunch of different scales, and you know,
going
I guess
forward,
I like option number one.
Going forward, we would, but if we've given someone a permanent variance, then we've given it, and so
yeah,
couldn't do that anymore. But it would be the case going forward.
I guess on these two issues, the first, the most concerning of the variances is the approach, and if it's, you know, in compliance with the NIST standards, and Pat's comfortable changing ours to that, I am more inclined to go that route on that issue, because I don't, you know, if it's, I don't see the public good that comes of forcing them to do all that extra work for not a lot of gain in what I'm seeing anyway. And on the second one, it's a matter of our weighing them. It's not a accuracy of the scales or a safety issue. And so I'm comfortable giving them a variance on that, a permanent variance on that. So I guess I'd like to, that's how I would fall off on it if we were to decide today.
So summarize that for me again.
Give them the variance on the first one and change our requirements as Patrick suggested.
When you say the first one, is there a way to, I thought it was either all or none in the permit, but you're picking certain things. I'm not tracking what you're saying.
Well, the second variance that they're asking for, which is the approach or scale pad or whatever we want to call that.
Over than the 1/3 foot.
Nope, the second one is, well, the first one. This is one, and there's another letter that speaks to the second one, which is the space available beside the scale inside the door sill. So that issue is not an issue to me. I'd say give them the variance, permanent variance on that. This one, too, I would say give them the permanent variance on the slope and the, you know, grade and the length, and adjust our requirements to accommodate NIST's.
Based on, I'm playing devil's advocate here, I'm not sure I disagree with you, but so what would be our rationale to give the permanent variance? That they've complied with the scales, or is there something else?
I don't think that they're showing that there's a problem with the way things are operating now.
Based on what they've...
And I'd be comfortable just getting the giving them the variance and not necessarily changing our rules either, but I get what Randy and Pat are saying in terms of sending a message that you don't have to apply by the rules. So if we've got rules and we can, you know, have people following those rules, then that's better. So,
how, did you have another comment on that?
Well, I
have another option maybe that just occurred to me. You know, we're going through a big transition in this whole subject area with going to private contractors, testing them. We might learn a lot about what's needed for North Dakota conditions that might be different than NIST standards, or that we don't have any needs for anything different within the next year. What if we did, okay, right now they have a variance through October, or till the 1st of October of 2013. What if we did another variance that kept them going through 2014 again, so that you know, generally we're moving along in that direction. And we, in the next year, as we've worked more with private contractors, you know, in the past, private contractors do some, but all we see is some reports once in a while that get mailed in. We don't really interact with them like we will be from here going forward. And this will be tested a time or two in the next 15, 18 months. And let's see once whether for sure we want to change the rule. If we try to change the rule, remember, it requires legislative approval. So maybe it will be denied, and then we will have given a variance and then find out that the legislature does not want us changing that rule. So why don't we do a variance for an additional 12 months than what they had and gather some more information from the contractors that test these and Wayne's interaction with them and kick the can down the road a year.
What's the longest we can do a temporary variance?
The longest? I don't know that there's any restriction.
Okay, so we could, for just sake of discussion, we could say 1 August, we could give them variance to 1 August 2014? I mean, we could do it now to give them some certainty that if we were going to go down that road, we don't need to go to October to extend it. We could extend it 1 August. Couldn't we do it? So they would know August 1st that they've got till August of 2014. Or do you have to? I mean,
unless you want them to go through October, then you'd.
I think we need
just to say you could reissue the variance and say it's good till October of 2014.
Oh, I see.
October 30th.
That's what I like. It's a whole construction season. So if by next year at this time they know that we've gained further information and we're probably not going to renew it or make it permanent, that then they have till October to get the work done.
I'm still trying to get straight in my head the variances because I'm looking at this letter that says temporary variance permit that's given to them. And I'm trying to equate it to the letters. On the permit, there's three issues. It says less clearance, 5 1/8 than required, 12 inches below the I-beam in the slab. Okay, I got that. I know that one. And then there's less clearance inside, 2 feet 6 than required to 5. That's the door. Okay. And then the third one, the approaches, we've got two different sub-paragraphs in there, right?
The grade and the length.
Okay. So, in listening to the Julie and Randy talk, it does sound, though, like I shouldn't say it like that. I think I hear a concern from Randy about drainage, but that's about it. And I hear Julie's point about, and I think I agree with it, that the variance for the doors, is there any value, I guess, to the point of saying of refining it down a little bit more, that there's something, because for me the big thing is, the scale is in compliance. I don't really care about the rest of it. I shouldn't say that, but that's a big deal. The scale is in compliance, and it's in compliance. And so these other things, is there any value in tweaking some of those that we don't think have much to do with it, or we assume that they all would have something to do with it? That's why it's in our current rules package. You know, because the fact that there's no door on there, to me, I agree with Julie on that, that it doesn't matter because there's no door. They're not going to be bringing the weight rack around. So something like that, we could just say that's a permanent variance. And that's the only, I'm not saying not just to do it all as a temporary, but is that something that would be have any value to them, that they would take that piece of the equation out of the puzzle?
I think they just want to know what they're going to have to do to come into compliance, or if we're going to require them to come into compliance. I think if we gave them an extension of the variance permit until October of 2014, I don't think they would really worry about it until we contacted them again. I don't think they would begin any construction, make any changes. So their operation wouldn't change.
See, I thought they
affected so much.
I thought they would come back, and that's where I guess my first comment was that I probably didn't read it quite close enough, but I thought they would come back with something other than just give us the permanent variance, to your point. It just seems like they went back and they put together some numbers. And if let's say we would do a permanent variance and we got pushed on, why did you give the permanent variance? If we use cost prohibitive, I don't think that holds because this cost, compared to their business, we have no idea. 100 and whatever it is, 36,000, that could be 0.0001% of their business. So it's hard to use the cost prohibitive argument. So that one, I don't put much weight in that. But I do put weight in the fact that it's in compliance.
I would say justifying a decision to give them permanent variance on the slope and the length, that it was in operation effectively. There were no problems. And the scale, it doesn't affect the scales. There weren't any accidents. And it meets the NIST requirements. Our requirements were stricter. We were comfortable because of the investment they had made and the cost of changing it, that what they were doing was meeting the NIST requirements, and that was okay in this situation.
So you're not worried about the cost stuff, so that you have more.
I wouldn't say it was. You know, that was, if it wouldn't matter how much it cost if there were problems. You know, if it wasn't functioning right and people were getting in accidents and the scales weren't working right, then it wouldn't matter if it cost $500,000 to fix it. They'd have to fix it. But I don't see that in what we've got in front of us. It's so.
Although the counter to that is, when did these guys go into business?
When it was installed. I guess that would have been that test date, December of 2012.
Yeah, so you'd never have, like, OSHA or WSI go out and see someone that didn't have hard hats on their guys on a construction site and say, well, there hasn't been an accident in 6 months, so they don't have to. You know, it hasn't been very long accident-free.
True.
Either. But it has been accident-free as far as we know. So.
And it is complying with the bigger issue, the comfort that gives,
yep,
that I have, is that it follows the NIST standards.
Yeah. I wanted to be just clear about something that, I don't know that it matters in our ultimate decision, but when I talked about drainage, I mentioned that because they had mentioned it. When I talked about extending these ramps out, they said the reason that they couldn't, or at least my understanding of their comments, was if they extend them out, then they trap water there. And so that's why I brought up the drainage issue. And I just think an engineer could figure out a way to do it.
Don't they include that as part of their plan, though? Install a subgrade drainage system to drain the areas between the approaches, as in extending the approaches and at the overall gradation of the site. I thought that they did address that in their plan.
Yeah.
Up top there, yeah. Well, to beat the dead horse, I guess where I've come down is, I think I agree with that everything's going pretty good now. My concern is there's not enough time elapsed to say it's really working. And so that's where I would say that I would fall down right now, that extend the variance for a little bit longer to collect some more data. If nothing pops up as an anomaly in this period of time, then we approve it as a permanent variance. That's, I guess, where I would drop down now. So that's kind of up to you.
I agree with that, and I think the time frame ought to be till October of 2014.
Is that too long, though?
Well, we're giving them some time, and once we get a couple months down the road, then it'll be past the construction season. They won't be able to fix it anyway.
But could we give them a variance till, and this is just wordsmithing, I understand, you give them a variance till April of, May of 2014, and then we look at our data, and then if we look at it and we say it's been good throughout the whole winter, you could make a permanent variance come April 1st and be done with it. If you look at through the winter and it hasn't been very good, we could say, okay, we're going to give you a temporary variance until October of 2014, but because it hasn't been in compliance this winter, we are going to want this, and this.
Maybe think of it in terms of the number of tests we're going to receive between now and whatever date you pick.
Okay,
you
that's a good point.
That way. So we just received one in June.
Okay.
We will get one in September.
Okay.
And then in December.
Okay.
Time frame. And then March. So if you did choose April, you would have three more tests if everything goes, you know, if everything's done timely. It would be three more tests. How many tests would you like to see to show you that it's holding and doing well?
That would be 1 year's worth of data then.
Yes.
But we do have
three. We have two tests since it was placed in service already. So that would be three more.
But we do have a rule that talks about the temporary variance, and that it does not become permanent until sufficient time to conclude inspection and testing, and in there it says usually 2 years.
Wow.
Okay. Well, that really clarifies things quite a bit, then.
A variance permit granted by the commission is a temporary variance permit and does not become permanent until sufficient time to conclude inspection and testing, usually 2 years, has elapsed.
Oh, okay. Well, so let's see. Extend it another year and see where we're at.
Sounds good to me. So October of 2014, and then we go from there. Okay. Assume you're okay with that.
I'm okay with that.
Julie, going once, going twice. Well, that was easy. But, you know, it does bring up the question, do we still want to look at our rules package? I don't know. We don't need to do that right now, I guess, today.
And the other thing, you always hope that people would come to our rulemaking proceedings, because once the commission says they want to change the rule, they have there's a hearing that's held for public input. And you would hope that all the service companies and anybody that has an interest in the rules that we have would give us their input at that time. We do get the word out to each of them specifically when we're doing a change in our weights and measures rules, because they're a very interested party. So the service companies get a direct email of our rules package. Hopefully we'll get something back from them.
Okay. Fair enough. Anything else we need for today?
We have another case. Just to inform you about, I don't know if you have to start another work session, like officially announce it, like close this work session and start another one.
Well, the answer is probably yes.
Okay.
This is for one case, and I have a 4 o'clock another meeting I have to go to.
Okay.
So unless it's super time sensitive, like these two can continue without me, that's not a problem. But if we're done with this work session, we should close this work session.
Okay.
So let's, do you have enough you need for this work session then, for the next agenda item? You can add this on there? Or do we just want to wait until till October?
Whatever you hope.
I'd like to get something to the company that they know they're good till October of 2014.
Yes. I think we need to get that message out to them.
Yeah. Okay, so if you could put it on the next schedule then to extend the variance till October of 2014.
Well, we just send the variances out.
We just send them out.
So we would just amend the variance with a new date and send it out to them.
All right, sounds good. Okay, with that, we'll close the work session on case number WM 13-56. Thank you.